Here's the deal. We know even the most respected Bible heroes experience times of joylessness. Like in Job 3, we see Job literally wish he had never been born. Psalm 55, David prayed to be taken away to a place where he would not have to deal with the reality of his life. Anyone else ever been there? Elijah, 1 Kings 18, even after defeating hundreds of prophets of Baal by literally calling fire down from heaven, an all-time career high, he beelined into the desert and asked God to take his life. Like, if these guys struggled, well, how in the world do we live in joy when life is far from perfect? Today, we are going to hear from my social media friend. You may know her by her Christian jokes of the day reels. They are so funny. Or maybe you've already bought her new devotional, Goodness Gracious 90 Unfiltered Devotions for this sometimes too serious life. But whether you feel like BFFs or today is your very first introduction, roll up your sleeves because Hannah Cruz is going to help us trade the lie that joy comes when life is perfect for the truth. Let's get into it. Here's the deal. On any given day, we think 50,000 to 80,000 thoughts. But get this. Of those, let's say 50,000, 98% of them are the same ones from yesterday, which means we just keep thinking the same stuff over and over and over again, which is great if it's all true, all encouraging, lovely, praiseworthy. But with the father of the lies on the loose, out to steal your hope, kill your peace, and destroy your faith, my guess is they're not. I know you because I know me. Hi, I'm Heidi Lee Anderson, Christian author, cancer survivor, and social media content creator. And in every episode of the Trade a Lie for a Truth podcast, we're camping out on one thought and picking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to follow the voice of truth above all else. His name is Jesus. Because in his words, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You ready? Let's seize the free, abundant life in Christ one thought at a time, starting with this episode. All right, Hannah, I am pumped that you are joining me today because as someone who has followed you for years now, I mean, this is the first time I actually get to sit down and chat with you like an actual friend, right? Yay. Not someone that I just follow online. So that is so much fun. Let me just say, you are the perfect person, I think, to help us tackle this lie that joy comes when life is perfect. Because what I have observed is like joy, it oozes out of your every post, like whenever you show up. But I mean, you're the first one to admit life isn't always perfect. But before we get into it too far, we kick off every episode with a game of two truths and a lie. And I am not the best at pegging the lie, but I'm going to do my best. So come at me with three statements and I will do my best to guess which one is false.
Okay. So here's the first one. When I was pregnant, I only craved eggs. Oh. The second one is I was a pole vaulter in high school and college.
What?
And then the third one was I tried out for a pageant, forgot my speech, and walked off the stage.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. I really want two and three to be correct because I really want to hear the stories behind those. So I'm going to guess, is number one the lie?
Yes. What? That's so funny. Oh my God. I could not stand the smell of eggs while I was pregnant. I couldn't. Oh. And both pregnancies, it was like the smell of, oh gosh, it would hit me and I would immediately want to vomit. I'm like, you cannot have eggs in this house. No way.
So that was me my entire life. I hated eggs. And it actually in the last 2 years, I mean, so it's been since I had Dottie. Now I literally want eggs every day. So kind of reverse of you. The reverse.
It's like one of the best proteins that you're supposed to have anyway. Yeah, so that's a good
true.
Thing. That's a good
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I want to hear the story first behind number two. Like what?
Yes,
how
yes,
did you get into that?
That was my sport. In high school, there was nobody that did it. And so they had this like one like set of poles. And so I was really the only girl in my grade that thought, okay, well, I'll give it a try. I had girls that was like older than me that did it, but I was like, you know what? If I'm the only freshman to try it, then that would be actually kind of fun. I'd be by myself. And that was great. It's weird because I'm actually kind of introverted. I would much rather do a sport by myself than a team sport or like having to be around a bunch of people is so weird. I don't know why. That's just the
way it is. That's hilarious.
And I loved it and I picked it up and it was just like my sport. And so I did it in high school and in college too. It was a lot of fun.
Wow. Not everyone can say that. So that is pretty fun. Okay. Then number three, that sounds worst case.
Oh, it was so embarrassing. It was a huge lesson for me because I walked into it thinking, I got this. Like, this is going to be great. There's only a few people. But it was like right whenever I walked on the stage and then the lights hit, it was as if the Holy Spirit allowed me to forget, to humble me, and then also to say, you are not that great. The only reason that you have any greatness in you is because of me. He was literally trying to humble me in that moment. And it was such an embarrassing humbling that I never forgot it. And so at this point, it's like, anything and everything that we do is because of what the Lord has instilled in us.
Yes.
Has nothing to do with our own strength. So I honestly love that that happened because now I can hold on to that and say, okay, the Lord has great and wonderful plans for me, great and wonderful plans for my friends and for everybody on this earth. He's given everybody wonderful gifts and talent, but we have to make sure to give him all the glory and honor. Otherwise, we're going to fall flat on our butts.
Like literally just walk off the stage. Done.
I know.
How long did you do pageants?
No, I didn't. I only did one. It was like one.
That was a one and done.
Like,
that was it.
A one and done. There was like four people that were doing it. And so I thought, oh, this will be easy. It's not going to be that bad. So one and done.
Oh my word, Hannah.
No.
Okay, that is amazing. All right. Well, now let's shift gears back to demolishing today's lie, which is joy comes when life is perfect. Would you help us set the stage for this lie? Maybe share more about yourself and when you first started hearing or entertaining this lie.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like lots of times when people think of someone who is joyful, they think, oh, they've never gone through anything, or their life is really great, or they've got it all together, or there's things that they didn't have to walk through that maybe I had to walk through. And so I think it's a huge misconception to think that joyful people have not experienced pain. And in my experience with the things that I've even walked through within my own life, I have seen that it's actually the polar opposite. With all of the painful situations that I've had to walk through in my life, what's happened is whenever you're in the mire and you're in a rut and you're in the valley, you are so hyper focused on reaching out to your Savior and reaching out to the one that you know can pick you up out of that rut, that when you see him do it and when you see him pull through for you, it arises a joy that is supernatural. And there's a huge difference between joy and happiness. Joy is something that can only come from God. Happiness is things that are in material things or things that people can offer you that are fleeting and that don't last. And so that's the thing, is joy is something that is everlasting and it's something from our Savior. And it really happens whenever he delivers us from things that could have destroyed us. And so that's my experience and what I've seen with joy.
No, it's so true. I mean, I remember when I was diagnosed with cancer and I was really in the thick of it and just how close the Lord felt. Those nights when I would just spend time as we're just like begging for his healing, for his peace. Mm-hmm. And man, he showed up, right? And he shows up when we seek him, when we're in his word. And I love that you pointed it out that joy and happiness are very different. And so let's dive into that a little bit more. As always, we love to look at the Bible and hear, what does God have to say about this? And is there maybe like a Bible character that stands out to you or a particular passage or verse when you think about joy?
I feel like the first one that always comes to my mind is Ruth. And I don't know why. Okay. I think I'm so obsessed with Ruth. I think she is so cool and she is so loyal and faithful despite her circumstances, which were dire. I mean, she lost her husband. She lost her father-in-law. She lost her homeland. She lost her culture. She had to go with her mother-in-law to this new land. Everything just seemed so different, so new, so devastating in a way to where she was having to go out to a field and just get the scraps. I mean, can you imagine someone having to walk through a life like that? But yet she never once faltered. She never once denied the fact that, you know what, my God will be your God. And the fact that she was obedient in that way and that she didn't stay in that place of depression or self-pity and that she was more than a conqueror in that passage, the Lord blessed her and he overflowed in her life. And her marriage was restored with someone wonderful who adored her. And so I cannot imagine anyone being more joyful than Ruth in experiencing what God did for her in spite of what had happened to her. She didn't allow her condition to define her. She allowed the joy of the Lord to sustain her amid her condition. And I love that about her. And so I think that reflecting on her story and reflecting on the things that she went through and saying, you know what, if she did that, I think I can do that. Then that's really a huge help. It's a huge help.
Yeah. And that's a good point too with Ruth. I mean, in contrast with her mother-in-law was like, don't even call me Naomi anymore, which means pleasant. Call me Mara because the Lord has made me very bitter. And so I think you have Ruth and you have her mother-in-law in direct contrast with one another, which really reminds us, like you said, we have the choice because we can face similar circumstances as other people, but we can carry the joy of the Lord. Instead of falling into the bitterness. So I love that you point that out. I think one passage that sticks out to me too when thinking about joy, and you touched on that word joy, is something that comes only from the Lord. And we see that in Galatians. We read the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's love, it's joy. There's peace, there's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But first of all, I love how good our God is to give us all of that, right? Galatians 5 doesn't say the fruit of the Spirit is seriousness, solemnness, being stoic, somber. No, there's joy, right? There's this love, there's this peace. And that's the part that I think is so interesting is that, isn't that what this whole world wants? Like no one wants the opposite of that. They don't have time to consider anyone who's unloving. Everyone wants peace. No one wants anxiety or chaos. We like want these things. And our God is so good that he gives us these things, right?
Yes.
Okay, now I want to talk about Jesus too, because we know from scripture, I mean, he's called our pioneer. He's our good shepherd who is the way. He shows us the way. And so let's talk about Jesus a little bit. Yeah. What has Jesus told us or what has he showed us about joy? Does anything come to mind?
I feel like, oh my gosh, this is so funny to me. The other day, and I don't even know if this even correlates to joy, but I just find it so funny. What happens with me in my relationship with Jesus is when I finally started to read the word like fully and completely and for myself as an adult, which took a long time. I mean, I feel like I grew up in a Christian home, right? And so I did all the church things. I did all the Christian school, Christian clubs, but it wasn't until I became an adult that I'm like, I need to really find out who this God is for myself by reading the word. It's just sitting on my shelf. And it's not just enough for me to go to church on Sundays and hear what somebody else has to say about God.
True.
I need to find out who this Jesus is for myself and his character. And so what I love about Jesus is he shows himself to me in the things I read about him. And it makes me giggle. Like it makes me laugh so hard because it's like, oh my gosh, like you are so personable and you are so neat and you're so real at the same time. So this literally the other day, I was reading about the story where he turned water into wine. And whenever he did, you know, his mom noticed and at this wedding that there was no more wine. And so she goes up to Jesus. She goes, hey, there's no more wine. And he's like, what do you want me to do about it? Like, that's not my problem, basically. And the way he did it in this translation, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It just made me laugh so hard to see that Jesus had a personality. Like he had a character about him that is so relatable. Because if my mom came up to me and said that, I'd be like, what do you want me to do about it? I don't know. What do you want me to do about that? That was so funny to me. But then he started revealing himself to me even more. And in that story, he was like, my time hasn't come yet. She goes to the servants, Mary does, and she's like, do whatever he says. Okay, just go do whatever he says. So he goes to the servants and he says, all right, fill up those things with water. And so they do. They're just listening to what he says. And he says, okay, now fill up one of the goblets with the water and go present it to the master of ceremonies or to the guy putting on the wedding. Yeah. So they do. And they're blindly following this guy that they don't even know nothing about him. So the servants go and hand this goblet to this guy. He drinks it and he says, you saved the best wine for last. And in the passage, it talks about how he had no idea what had just happened, but the servants knew. And it said in parentheses, but the servants understood what happened. And in that moment, the Lord revealed to me so clearly, isn't it funny how Jesus revealed his very first miracle, not to a king, not to a high priest, not to the person throwing this big fat wedding. He revealed himself for the first time to a servant. Yeah. They were the first to understand who he truly was and to see and understand his first miracle. And so as I'm sitting there reading that, like, oh, wow, you showed your first miracle to the least of these, to a servant. Yeah. And it was like he spoke to my heart so clearly and said, that's why I want you to have a servant's heart. When you have a servant's heart, I reveal myself to you. I reveal my character to you. I reveal the joy of the Lord that can be your strength in every circumstance. And so I just love what the word does. It refines my character. It reveals who Jesus is, who God is, and it makes me want to be more like him all the time. Yeah. And to me, that's just such a happy, joyful feeling. I just love it.
Yes. And I love that you pointed out that the servants were just doing what Jesus told them to do, because I mean, when you look at John 15, that's what it makes me think of when he's talking about abiding in him. He says, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. But he said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And so we see from Jesus's words, like, one of the keys to having joy is to straight up obey what he says. Like when we actually walk forward, like those servants where it's like, I don't know how this is going to pan out. This is kind of weird. Like, but we're at the end of our rope and we're just, we're going to trust you, Jesus, to make a way. I mean, that's abiding in his love. That's following his commands. Like he said, and man, when Jesus shows up, like he did at that wedding, it is always unexpected. It'll always blow our mind and it'll bring us joy, right? Our joy in him will be complete. And I love that. It makes me think of, it makes me think of Tara Lee Cobble, how she ends like her every podcast episode by saying, he's where the joy is at. I mean, that's the truth, right?
That's so cute.
Isn't that cute? That. It's like her signature at the end of every episode. So I can't steal it, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
That's really good. I love those play on words. It's cute.
Yes. Okay. Now I'd love to put some actual flesh on this concept, because sometimes we can talk about joy. We can talk about biblical concepts, but it's like, what does this actually look like in real life? How do we practically live this out? So maybe can you tell us, like, how have you lived in joy in your own life, even when circumstances weren't perfect?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the, a lot of it happened whenever I would see God pull through. And I know I touched on that before, but what had to happen was I had to get to a place in my heart and in my life when I was in the middle of really, really hard, horrible situations where I had to just, it's okay to sit in the middle of your grief. It's okay to sit in it and to really also use the word of God as a mirror rather than using the word of God as, oh, see, this person needs to read this word. This person needs to see this verse because this is how they're going to treat me better. And I started to use it as a mirror instead. And so when I started doing that, I started saying, God, I am so grateful that you're using this love letter that you have given to me to uproot things within me that don't belong and to teach me how to respond better in these situations or teach me how to react better or what to do instead of the things that I have done in the past. And just seeing how he has had mercy and grace for me whenever I've made mistakes. And when I walked in that repentance and obedience and seeing how he would be able to pull me out of it, that really did bring me joy. But I can't stress enough what the word of God has done for rewiring my brain. Because again, like I said, you can do all of the Christian things you want, all the church stuff, all the small groups, all the being involved in whatever you want to be involved in. But there is power in the word to the point to where I can, I physically felt it changing the way that my brain would work. It was a physical feeling, even though it was a spiritual nurturing. It was a spiritual flushing of things out of my spirit that didn't belong, which was so great. And so that alone was exciting to me. That alone was like, I'm seeing change in me. And because I'm seeing change in me, that makes me love him and that makes me want him. And that makes me really joyful and a happiness that I can't explain. And so when that would happen, when he would vindicate, whenever I didn't have to say a word, whenever he would just do little things and show up. And I was talking to about this yesterday. I had a book signing for one of my devotionals that just came out. And I was talking to my friends about how whenever you're in the middle of a good season, a happy season, sometimes what happens is you kind of tend to not see the teeny tiny little details of how God shows up for you and how seen you really are, because things are good. And so you just feel good all the time. And so you don't really notice the things that the Lord does for you on your behalf when things are good. But when things are bad, you notice every little butterfly, every little speck, every little, you know, heart-shaped dust or heart-shaped rock. And you're like, that was for me. That God, you see me. You understand me. That was a sign for me. And so that's what I also loved, is because in the middle of our heartache, we tend to see him more. But that also drove me to a place where I was like, Lord, when I'm not in heartache and when I'm not struggling, I still want to see you show up in those little ways, because those little tiny gold nuggets give me so much joy, because it makes me feel so seen and not a little speck on a planet. I know that your plan and your purpose for me is so good, and it's so precious. And it's wonderful. So it just really shows how intimate the Lord is. And that's really where I've noticed a huge spike in joy. But then also there has been times in my life where sometimes just reading, it wasn't absorbing, or going to church wasn't absorbing. And yes, I needed to surround myself with godly counsel. And there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So there is nothing wrong or shameful about going to a Christian counselor or surrounding yourself with people that have a deeper spiritual walk than maybe you have in your current state. So that's what I did. And it was so healing, so freeing, such life poured into me through the words of other people that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So yes, there's so many things that we can do, but we have to pursue joy also in order to find it.
Yeah. And I love that you said that seeking God in your mind, it was like, man, this was a spiritual nurturing, but it has affected me physically. And I once read that we in America, we compartmentalize, right? We think we have this, if you imagine a dresser, like a drawer for spirituality, a drawer for emotional, a drawer for relational, a drawer for physical. And we think of them as separate drawers, but man, God created all of us as one unit. And so, man, when we press into one, when one area is affected, the rest is affected too. And so I love that you point out, though, seeking God has in turn created joy in other areas of life. Like it pours out in other areas, because I do think of Paul when he was in prison. I mean, he's known for saying in Philippians, like, rejoice in the Lord always. And he was able to have joy even when circumstances didn't look great, because he was rejoicing, he was praising God. And I found that for myself, that when I am lacking joy, when I'm having a hard day, when I have just a bummer mood and it is tough to get out of it, honestly, when I turn on worship and I start praising God for who he is and focusing on him, that brings me so much joy. It really has this domino effect in my heart. And I'm able to walk away with truly not just happiness, but his joy over the situation. And so, I mean, I can't stress that enough too, that worshiping God and reading his word, like Hannah said, that is where the joy is at. Okay, for someone who is maybe lacking joy today, like they hear all of this and think, oh, I would love that. Like, joy must be nice. I would love to have that in my soul, in my life. What advice or encouragement would you give for them today?
Yes. Well, I feel like it is such a process sometimes, depending on whatever you're going through. Everyone walks through different seasons of their life. Sometimes it's just not a quick fix, and that's okay. And I want everyone to know that it is so okay if it takes you a little bit longer than maybe it would take somebody else to really walk and step into that season of not only joy, but purpose. And so I feel like purpose is a huge, huge thing. It was for me. In order to finally walk in joy, I had to walk in the purpose that God had for me. And so really narrowing down, God, what is your purpose for my life? I'm only here for this long. I want to use my time wisely. And so reveal to me, help me figure out how I can serve you best while I'm alive. Because when we walk in the will of God, there is favor there. There is joy there. There is so much blessing there. And it's not easy. It doesn't mean it's easy, but when we walk in obedience, that induces hope, it induces faith, and it produces joy. And so that's what I would encourage a lot of y'all to do, is to really sit down and reflect, Lord, what is the purpose that you have, not just my life, but in this season? What do you want to do inside of me? What do you want me to do to bless someone else? And then, of course, making the word of God, reading it every single day, a non-negotiable. okay? Mm-hmm. Non-negotiable. And I know that's hard. People are busy. Yeah. Life is hectic. But if God can send his son down to die for us and have enough time for that, I think we can carve out 10 minutes in the morning or in the evening, whenever it is, to just read to what he has to say to us, just to love on us. He's not there to chastise us with the word. He's there to love on us and to refine us. And I love that. And again, it rewired my own brain. And so I know it can do it for someone else. And then the third thing is to definitely consider plugging yourself in to a Bible-believing, life-breathing church. Mm-hmm. There is power in the body. There is wisdom in surrounding yourself with believers. Not that they're all perfect, but we want to all serve a perfect God. And so there are some in there that are there to just pour into you and to be in a house where the presence of God falls in worship and in the word is a beautiful thing. And so don't shy away from church. Don't shy away from that.
Yeah.
And then lastly, if even all of those things are still, it's still too much for you, it's still, you just can't get out of it, look up a Christian counselor. Seek out people in your life that you know are spiritually more mature than you are, have been through similar things that you have, but you know that their relationship with the Lord is super, super strong. Then seek those people out. You are not bothering these people whenever you are coming to them with your struggles. You're not bothering these people that want to share their testimony. Right. And you're especially not bothering someone who is professional enough to walk you through it. I've done all the things and all of them in their own right and in different seasons have been amazing for me in walking in joy. It's just been so wonderful. And I'm so grateful for the pain because the pain has turned into a lot of purpose.
You will redeem it, right? No matter what you're facing today. I mean, I want you to hear that clear, is that God doesn't just leave us where we're at. He is so good to us that he will lead us on. He's your good shepherd that will find you. He will track you down and he will lead you on. So keep your eyes fixed on him. Okay. I hope by this point we can trade the lie that joy comes when life is perfect. We can trade it for the truth that life will never be perfect, but the fruit of the spirit, I mean, one of the fruit of the spirit is joy, which means for those in Christ, we can have it today. I love what Romans 12:12 says. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. It is God. Yes. He is the one who fills you with all joy and all peace. It says in believing. So keep Jesus the center of your focus because, I mean, again, I'm not going to rip off Tara Lee Cobble, but it just feels right. He is where the joy is at. Okay. Now, Hannah, before we wrap up, we always end with a lightning round of just five rapid fire, lighthearted questions. But first, will you share more about where we can find you and connect with you after this? And y'all, you're going to want to listen up because I literally laugh every time Hannah crosses my feed, like how you spelled out your last name to witness to whoever was on the other end of the phone line. I mean, it had me dying. You guys have to find that real. I actually want to try that in real life, but where can we find you for more?
Okay. You can find me on Instagram is where I'm most active. So that's at hannahcruz.blog. I post the same things on TikTok. So if you're more active there, you can find me there. Pretty much every social media platform, you can just go find me there, but I'm most active on Instagram.
Okay. You got to tell them about your book because it is so cute. The cover, the title, I mean, it just shows what the book is going to be like on the inside. Tell us what the title is.
The title is Goodness Gracious. And that's a phrase that I use all the time, but it's Goodness Gracious, 90 Unfiltered Devotions for This Sometimes Too Serious Life. And I feel like we can take life so seriously sometimes, especially in today's world. It's really crazy and it kind of sucks and it's just really rough. And so it's so important for us to just every single day, just find a little nugget that can just really help us to walk in joy and not take life so seriously, not take ourselves so seriously or situations and circumstances so seriously. So it's 90 days. You can read one a day. It can be a 3 months long that you can do this, or you can read it all the way through like some people have, but it is so fun. And just get ready for some unfiltered, wild, crazy stories that'll either really give you some secondhand embarrassment, or it'll just make you laugh. It could be either one. But regardless, I think that that's also a good thing to have to couple with reading the word of God. So there's verses in there that you can read. There's things that you can look up in the word yourself. So I encourage you to get it. I encourage you to maybe use it alongside your Bible reading. It's just a lot of fun. It is.
Hannah is one of those, you guys, that if you need a good laugh on your feed, trust me, you're going to want to hit follow. Okay, so Hannah, I have five questions for you. Just give your honest response, your first knee-jerk reaction, and we'll go through the list, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Number one, who was more your jam when you were growing up? Amy Grant, Point of Grace, or Twyla Paris?
Oh my gosh, Point of Grace. Yes. Point of Grace. Are you kidding me?
It's like,
there's a bridge to cross the great, what, the great divide, whatever it was.
Yes. It's amazing how those lyrics stick with you over decades, yes, right?
I know. I love them.
Number two, if you could go back in time and witness one Bible story in real life, minus the cross and resurrection, because I feel like that's a given, which one would it be?
Can it be the Ascension?
Yes, that would be okay. Amazing.
I know that that's probably around the same kind of category as the cross, well, and the resurrection. But the Ascension would have been insane. Oh, you know what, yes, I would have also loved to have witnessed is whenever God took up, was it Elijah or Elisha, yes, that he took up into heaven?
Elijah,
was it?
You got it.
Okay, it was Elijah. That would have been cool.
That would have been insane. So cool. That's true. Both of the Ascensions into the sky. You're just looking up at the clouds like, what just happened?
I know.
Okay, yeah. Number three, out of the worst Christian tattoos from your reel that you posted, if you were forced under a needle to choose one of them, which one would it be?
Oh my gosh. I really did like the tattoo. Sorry, my dogs are going absolutely psycho. But I loved the tattoo that said, I can do all things though Christ who strengthens me. At first when I read it, sometimes I don't proofread things really well. And I read it and it said, I can do all things through Christ. But then I go back and I look and it said, though Christ. I can do all things though Christ who gives me strength. I probably would have done that one, honestly, because I love that proofread stuff.
I love that you shout it out. I wonder what John Chris thinks about that.
Yes.
Okay. Number four, what translation of the Bible do you typically read out of? You said NLT right now. Is that the one you're normally in?
That's the one I'm in. I do read New King James Version also. I feel, yeah, like that's just like a safe one to go to. And I have read ESV too, just from some, yeah, a couple of different things that I've read. But I love, okay, NLT. Like that's my favorite right now.
And number five, are you pre-trib or post-trib?
Oh my gosh, I still don't know. I feel like we're in it.
We're in it. It's post, and that would be...
Okay, well, then we're post. I'm ready to run to the hills.
Right? I remember someone telling me, you hope for pre, but probably prepare for post. It's like, oh my word. Post.
I know. Yeah.
Who knows, right? It's all just fun to talk about. All right, well, thank you so much, Hannah, for joining us. Would you mind praying to send us off today?
Love that, of course. Father, I just thank you so much for this time with Heidi. I thank you for everything that you are doing in her. I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for her story and her testimony and for her platform, Lord Jesus. I pray a blessing over her and that you just shower her with favor that she has never expected before, never even seen before, Father. And I thank you for everyone who is listening, Father God. You know, your word does say, Lord Jesus, that we are to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, because that is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. It is your will for us, Father God, to be joyful and to give thanks in all circumstances. And so no matter what these people are walking through today, God, I pray that you do so in their lives and show up in their lives and let them have a wonderful, wonderful day, the rest of the day, in Jesus' name, and that they don't have barking dogs like I do. Amen.
Amen.